Beta report.
Orthman.
Welcome
to the beta report.
This is the beta rewind. Welcome to a new episode of the Beta Rewind.
That is right.
Beta Rewind.
What you just heard was our pitch to remake this movie. That's what it was.
Oh, that's what that was?
Yeah. You guys were auditioning
as a Drac.
Yeah,
I was auditioning to be a Drac.
There you go. That's what it was. So in case you guys were wondering, that's exactly what that was.
Well, what movie?
What movie?
Have you not heard this movie before?
Come on, man.
How have you not heard of this fantastic blockbuster?
The movie in question is Enemy Mine.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. And it was a flop, unfortunately, when it came out.
Yeah.
But before we jump into it, why don't we just go ahead and let's rewind. The year is 1985. We've had a bunch of movies come out that were like pretty significant sci-fi movies. We had obviously Return of the Jedi in 1983. Mm-hmm. We had Back to the Future in 1985. We had The Last Starfighter in 1984. I mean, we had a lot of these other movies coming out. Cocoon, The Terminator. A lot of these movies were coming out in the 80s. So I think Enemy Mine was trying to just take advantage of all these sci-fi movies coming out.
And stand out. And be unique. And it was unique.
Yes, it was.
It did stand out.
It did. Yeah,
whether
it stood out
for
sure.
Whether or not it was a good standing out is still in the question.
We'll talk about it right now. We'll talk about it. So Enemy Mine came out in 1985. It stars Louis Gossett Jr. Rest in peace. We decided to actually do this movie because of Louis Gossett Jr. in honor and tribute to this wonderful actor. He did some great movies. He did Iron Eagle. That's the only movie I can think of right now. And Enemy Mine, of course.
I'm sure he did many other great movies.
He did. But he was the Drac or the alien in this movie. And then Dennis Quaid was in this movie. And this movie was directed by Wolfgang Petersen. And Wolfgang Petersen actually made a bunch of like big hit movies back in the day, actually. If you never heard of the movie The Neverending Story, we actually talked about it in one I think it was the first episode of the Beta Rewind. We discussed how The Neverending Story made a comeback in Stranger Things. But he directed Neverending Story. He directed Enemy Mine, of course. In the Line of Fire, which is a Clint Eastwood movie, which is a great movie. Air Force One, which I love that movie too. It's Harrison Ford. He's the president.
Get off my plane.
You guys haven't seen that movie yet?
Air Force One. I remember Air Force One. Yeah. With
I just said Harrison Ford.
He also directed Das Boot der Komplexivisseur and Schwarz und wir tagen Nacht.
I don't know what you just said, but okay. I'll take your word for it.
He directed some other movies.
Some like German movies.
Yeah. This movie obviously was trying to be like one of the sci-fi movies, taking advantage of the Star Wars movies and Star Trek movies that came out during that time. But a quick synopsis of this movie. The movie takes place in the late 21st century. There's a war going on between humans and Drax, like a lizard type of people. The movie is about these two soldiers. They get into a dogfight, two
space dogfight.
They both crash land on a unexplored planet, and the movie is just them trying to survive, and along the way they survive together, get along, become friends.
Oh, definitely.
They become two dads.
Oh,
they become
possibly
more than, become more
I mean,
than friends
they were they, hey, hey.
No, that's not they, for us to say.
So the movie is just basically about that and how two races, I guess, you know, can get along, I guess, for some.
Yeah. Let's start, if you don't mind me starting.
No, go ahead.
From the beginning. Not even the beginning of the exposition itself. The beginning of the movie. You were mentioning this too. It's like not many movies do this anymore. Has that like freaking 5, 6, 7 minute long credit like crawl, and it's like it's like introducing all the cast, all the everything. But it's funny that old movies used to, we don't see new movies do that as much, at least anymore, you know, have the,
I don't think many, I think the only movie right now, it's not the only one, I'm sure there's others, but the one movie that comes to mind that does that is the Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other one that just did it too was Godzilla X Kong. They had that long.
Oh yeah, is that like with like all like the news reports,
credits opening?
Yeah. So what we're talking about, I don't know if you understand what we're saying, but when the movie starts, there's nothing going on, just a screen with like, you know, something that has to do related with the movie, like stars or space, and then just the credits rolling of like the actors and, you know, who's involved in the movie. And kind of forgot because we were watching this like, dude, when's the movie gonna start?
I
like,
know,
almost 5 minutes of just those of those type of credits. But yeah, most movies don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. A lot of it, like I said, Mission Impossible comes to mind when it does kind of do that, which Mission Impossible is weird because they do scenes of the movie you're about to watch the credits, like, and stuff that hasn't happened yet, they put it.
Yeah, it's
in
like a nice little foreshadow touch.
Yeah, kind of cool. It's weird.
And
but yeah, this movie started that way.
But it's cool too. I liked it fit in this movie, and I liked. I don't know about you guys, but I was getting kind of like Space Mountain vibes, like from the music itself.
The music. Whoever, I don't know who composed the music. Dude, I mean, I guess we didn't do our research, but it was like pretty good.
It was like the score, very, like spacey. I would imagine listening to that like while waiting in the line of Space Mountain,
because it utilizes the can't remember the, you know, it's the instrument where you put your hand, like the pitch is dependent on your position of your hand.
It says
it was like in the 70s.
It says the score was composed and conducted by Maurice Jarre and performed by the Studio Orchestra in Munich and a synthesizer ensemble. The soundtrack album was released by Maurice Sarabande. I don't know who that is.
Maurice.
Let's see. Maurice Jarre. What did he do? Oh, wow. He's got a pretty good...
track record, dude.
Yeah, he did Lawrence of Arabia, which is a pretty famous movie back in the day. Dr. Zhivago. Wow, Dr. Zhivago won an Academy Award, too. Other scores that he did, The Man Who Would Be King, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, okay. Witness was a Harrison Ford movie. Fatal Attraction, Gorillas in the Mist, Dead Poet Society, Ghost. These are actually pretty big movies. He won 4 Golden Globes, 3 BAFTA Awards, a Grammy Award, and he has a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Well, interesting. Wow. Good for him, dude. Nice. He really, I guess he deserves it because it was
very spacey.
Yeah. It was very compelling. I felt like I was in space.
That is funny, though. I didn't even think about it. Yeah. That does remind me of
like Space Mountain.
Well, yeah, because it uses that instrument. It's like you put your hand. I don't know what it's called, but you put your hand. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's like a board, and then you put your hand over it.
It's
and
all. Woo. It's like, woo. Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah,
if we were on video, you would see what I'm doing.
With your hands. You're just wiggling your hands around.
Yeah, yeah.
So the movie, I really I liked it, but unfortunately it was a flop in the movie theaters.
No.
Which makes me sad because we're going to jump into it about the movie itself. But I did like the movie. The movie has heart. There's a story behind that movie. It wasn't just a clone of Star Wars. There's a different story to it. There's an element of friendship, of
character
family,
development,
family
good
in there.
Yeah,
and I thought the movie was great. Now, you guys, what'd you guys think about when you're watching it and the effects of the movie? Because that's one thing that really stood out to me. It was how bad that looked.
What did you guys think? Definitely for sure. You could tell that it was like a very classic like sci-fi movie because of all just the like the technology of like the of the Drac in the movie was like very, it's like something that you don't really see would or that would make sense to you, like his gun, like the Drac's handgun or whatever looks like a freaking, like, you know, like the game like Jax, like those little, like those little you know, like you pick up all the marbles, whatever, or the pick up the thing when you throw
the jack, yeah, the actual jack.
The jack. It looked like the actual jack.
Yeah, there were like a bunch of balls put together.
Yeah, they're all balls put together, and like he like holds it. It looks like a.
But they're like made of glass.
Yeah, it looks like glass. Super weird. And then like his ship looks like a, I don't know, his ship is like elongated and it's all weird and stuff. And
but I thought it was funny that he's got a laser gun, but the human, which Dennis Quaid, his name is Willis, we're going to call him by his name, Willis E. Davidge, or Davidge for short, and the alien's name, Davidge calls him Jerry because he can't pronounce his name, his alien name, so he calls him Jerry. The alien has, or Jerry has this, you know, like you mentioned, this laser gun, yeah, that like, looks really
like
weird.
Complex, like...
It definitely looks like the 50s. Like, they had in the mind, like, a 50s ray gun. And Davidge has, like, a normal...
It's like a 1911.
Yeah,
normal... Colt pistol.
Like. Pistol, yeah, that looks like... Dude, wait, you're flying jets in space. How come your weapons
have... What's funny is that in the when he crash lands into the planet... And he's like looking around. He's like, you know, trying to see stuff, whatever. He pulls it out. He whips out his freaking Gat. It's like chrome plated, dude. Like he's got a chrome plated Gat, dude.
Yeah, it is chrome. It's like, why is it chrome, dude?
It is. It's like a freaking Call of Duty camo, like seriously, completionist
like
camo.
Yeah, probably like, probably it was like the challenge was like
he got 1,000
kill
kills,
1,000 drags.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, dude.
Get one headshot with the Colt.
And for all that, the dummy drops it in the water or whatever.
I know all that for him to drop it because
the way he drops it is so funny. He puts his leg on like a loose rock and then he trips, but then that causes him to like throw his gun.
He literally throws it like you see in the shot. He throws it into the middle.
Whoa!
Let me throw this as far as I can into the lake.
Yeah.
This rock made me do it.
Yeah.
I almost slipped. Yeah, it was that was kind of funny. But I thought that the space suit and the way they wear the helmet, like, dude, we already had Return of the Jedi, and Return of the Jedi, they look cool because they look like pilots, right, with their little helmets and stuff, and these fools are still wearing like astronaut helmets. I was like really big and blue, like I don't know why they couldn't think of something a little bit better than that, but the effects obviously are super dated. They are.
You can see like the mask lines of Jerry. You can see like where his actual lips are, and then like how the plaster of the mask like kind of extrudes from his face.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It's like it's cool because it's practical.
It's practical.
But
yeah, it is.
It's dated for sure.
It kind of is, but you know it's interesting. The movie. One of the things I like though too is that they made it. Very humanizing, you know, like there was obviously the element of the story, the way they interacted with each other, the way they started trying to teach each other's language, which I thought was really cool. I really like it. Then there's some weird things. One of the things that really tripped me out was, he kept saying like mother as a curse word.
Yeah.
I guess to not say the whole word, he would just say mother.
He kept it pretty PG. I would say.
Yeah, obviously.
Cause he's like, oh, come back, you mother.
But I had to write this down. One of these, he's like, write until you, and he goes, what did he say? Write until my mother. Like, what is that supposed to be an insult? Like,
I think that's like a your mom kind of insult.
Write until my mother.
It's basically like, I don't care. So like, go right and tell my mother.
Is
that what it is?
That's what I understood from it.
I was like, what does that mean? Right and tell my mother.
Yeah, it's kind of like a talk to the hand kind of thing.
Okay, that so, kind of makes sense, yeah. I guess.
Because I guess if people hear talk to the hand, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, I have no idea.
That just, I know, right? I thought that was.
I guess in the future, the sayings don't get
any better. What's crazy that
that we're just, you know, talking about the like the space outfits and the 50s design and stuff. You know, Star Wars was already out at this point. Mm-hmm. And George Lucas, when doing A New Hope and then Empire Strikes Back, he of course like drew from a lot of like his ideas of you know what space exploration and mm-hmm. you know Jedi would have looked like and stuff. And so here in Enemy Mine, like you can kind of see like subtle like inspirations as well, because of that like weird animal thing that's like laying inside, like burrowed in the ground. Dude, that's mm-hmm. That's like the Sarlacc pit. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one scene? It's like a freaking turtle, like a two-headed turtle, whatever. It's like, you know, sneaking up. And then that thing comes out the mouth and grabs it and just pulls it down. Dude, that was like totally like Sarlacc pit. Like
yeah, it kind of is. I could see that.
You could see how it's kind of like a Sarlacc pit.
You know what's always funny to me, and I always thought it was funny, was like whenever like an animal or a beast always eats something, it always has to have like the like stereotypical burp.
Oh,
yeah, after it eats something, like always in every movie. Yeah.
In Star Wars, too. In Star Wars,
like they have to have a burp after you eat something. I just thought like, oh, that's a staple in every movie. Like a monster eats something and they have to always burp right after, which I thought.
And you burp it out, or you burp out like the skull or like mm-hmm. a piece of, and in this movie, he burps out the shell.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a plot device though.
It was, because that shell was important later. It's how they did their... With the shelter
to protect them from the Zerki.
The Zerki.
which translated to meteor.
Meteor in Drac. See, we already know Drac, too.
Yeah.
What's cool about the movie, too, is that...
Othman.
Like, it's one of those movies where the protagonist... Also, who would you consider as the protagonist in this movie?
Davidge.
Both.
Yeah. I mean,
so is Jerry.
Yeah.
They both are. Yeah. I mean, in our eyes, we would look at Davidge, oh, he's the protagonist, and Jerry is the antagonist.
Uh-huh.
But that's a great thing, and glad you brought that up, because as the movie goes along, Jerry is teaching certain things in the movie that Davidge recognizes, and like, that's very, like, he basically saying, I've heard this in the Bible before.
Uh-huh.
And one of the lines that I really liked was because his prophet or teacher for Jerry is Shizmar, right? And Shizmar, right? And when he's reciting something from the book, because he ends up wants to learn about Jerry's, you know, not heritage, but you know, like culture. And he gives him like this little tiny Bible. He gives him a little Bible, their Drac Bible.
Literally, like it's a pocket track.
Okay, but yeah,
it's a track.
No, it's those Bibles. You ever see those little mini?
Yeah, it's a prayer track.
Yeah, like this small one.
Yeah.
So then he like, you know, is reading it, and it's basically saying like, you know, love one another.
You be know, kind to one another.
One was if a bad deed is done against you, a bad deed should not be like done in return.
Yeah. So he does stuff like he's talking about that, and then he's like, "Oh, I've heard this before," and I like what Jerry says, and he goes, "Well, truth is truth."
Yeah.
Regardless, right? Truth is truth, and I thought that was really cool, and I love the fact that he's like, so like to answer what you're saying, you know, he views Jerry views Davidge as the antagonist, and we naturally would because he's not human, but in turn, he really is a kind person, right?
Yeah.
He feels like he's been put into this war, but he's got these teachings to be able to treat people right. So I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, regardless, in our eyes, you know, we could view one as antagonist or protagonist, but really there, I think they're both the protagonist of the story. But yeah. And in fact, when you look at it, the one who was being the most aggressive at the beginning was Davidge.
Yeah.
That fool wanted to assassinate that guy.
Yeah, he pulled out the freaking Glock and he was ready to fire, dude.
Yeah.
That fool had a slip.
Yeah, that fool just had to slip.
Guy had no grip in his shoes.
What I was going to say earlier, too, is that I like how between the two characters,
And this is like any, this is like, you know, I thought of like The Last of Us with Joel and Ellie, and like those situations where it's like the two characters who from enemies, whatever, turn into like, you know, a pair that can't be separated. I liked how that was portrayed in this movie. You know, it wasn't like, at least I didn't feel it was entirely forced. Like, I feel like obviously there was some stuff to kind of move the story along, like, mm-hmm. you know, Davidge falling in the freaking Sarlacc pit and going, Jerry, help, whatever. And then of course, you know, Davidge saving Jerry during the meteor strike, you know, these like little plot devices help move the story and bring their
mm-hmm.
you know, their relationship closer each time. And I didn't feel like it was rushed, you know, like, I mean, it definitely, the movie, like, at first felt like, oh dang, we're like already, like, we pause it, I remember, we're like, oh, we're already like freaking 40-50 minutes in. Wow, that felt like super fast.
It was pretty fast,
you know. But you know, that doesn't mean that there wasn't, it wasn't rushed. Like, I felt like there was also time for you to see the development of both of the relationship between Davidge and Jerry. I think that was really cool. I think also it was hilarious that that Jerry referred to, you know, like their god, essentially their deity, whatever, as the Shismar. And Davidge was messing around with Jerry and said that theirs was Mickey Mouse.
Oh yeah. Well, I think it was a little bit unintentional, because I forgot what he had mentioned Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, no, it was definitely unintentional. I think he just picked it up.
Because then Jerry was like, "Oh, does Mickey Mouse like teach good things or whatever?" And he's like, "You know, you can say that." Yeah. So I think Jerry just kind of understood that that's their god.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
But he's like, "You know, curse you and your Mickey Mouse."
It's kind of funny.
That was a little funny take right there. And the movie, and I don't want to spoil it, but if you guys, if you watch the trailer, you'll get it spoiled.
I know.
But there's another element into the movie that changes the relationship a bit too, and really changes the view that Davidge has on Drax as well too. So that what do you guys think about that? That little twist.
So do you want to spoil it?
Right, we're going to give you 5 seconds to go watch the movie.
Why don't you got 5 seconds? Maybe we can give them some time so they can go ahead and...
Oh, I mean, think about it, Dad. This movie has been out for, 40 years now? Like, or 39, 40 years?
I mean, but do you really want to spoil it? I mean, we can give them... Let's give them a second to watch it.
All right, fine. All right, you didn't watch it?
Right, welcome back. Okay,
right, thank you.
If you watched it, I hope you took that time to go ahead and watch it.
Enemy mine in under 5 seconds. There you go.
Yeah, and hopefully your mind was blown. All right. Okay.
Jerry's freaking pregnant, bro.
They do say in the movie, towards the beginning, that they are not, that they're not human, and they're not male nor female, but both.
But both.
That's what they say.
Yeah, so if you didn't watch the trailer, that's a pretty huge foreshadow, but it's not something that you pick up right away.
Yeah. Definitely. But yes, in the movie, Jerry is with child, and this, you know, obviously freaks out. Not freaks out, but it's like he's, you know, they're good friends with Davidge, and so he's surprised, but he's obviously, you know, wants to take care of Jerry. And unfortunately, Jerry doesn't make it.
No, Jerry! No.
But he gives birth to who, Jason?
To the wonderful Zamies.
Zamies, that's what he...
Zamies. Zamies.
So the whole relationship changes. The movie, that's why I said that movie has heart.
And at this point, at this point too, Dad, like, they're already best friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're like freaking...
Yeah, Jerry and Davidge are like
hand on friends. One knee, mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know, the same freaking...
They're locked in.
They're locked in with each other, bro.
Hand on one knee?
I don't know.
What the heck is that?
Freaking.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Hand on one knee.
You just made up your own saying.
Yeah, you did.
I, I don't know. I just came out. I was just,
dude.
There you go. You guys got to say the, you know,
hand on one.
Hey,
knee.
Bro, we're hand on one knee. We're hand on one knee. You know.
I don't know, bro. That sounds kind of sounds sketchy there.
Well, I mean, I guess so.
Anyways, what Jason's trying to say is, yes, these guys—they
were close friends.
They're close friends. They were very close.
They were very close.
Not that close. Mm-hmm. I do like when he said, "Don't look at me," because he's pregnant.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Don't look at me.
Don't look.
But yeah, he has a child. He doesn't make it through the process, and Zombies is born, and Zombies, you know, ends up being a little baby, but he does mention in the movie, because he's narrating throughout the movie, Davidge is narrating some of the stuff that's happening to him, and he does say that the Drac
growth rate
is faster, and so we do see him like sort of a little bit bigger than a toddler, say like 8 or 9 years old or something, and he calls him uncle, and so there's this bond that they have that he's like his you know, I want to say son, but his nephew, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, taking care of. There's a subplot with miners who are scavengers, I should say, and the whole thing. And there's a whole set piece that takes about like the last 20 minutes of the movie, right? Of him going to rescue Zombies from these scavengers. So it's the movie in whole, and that's pretty much basically the movie. Again, despite the fact that it's got some pretty bad visuals in terms of special effects, the outfits are not very creative. It sounds like I'm bashing the movie, but I'm not. I really...
Now it's time for the bad things about it.
I really liked the movie. I did. I remember as a kid enjoying the movie, enjoying.
So when you saw it, did you see it in theaters then?
I don't think so. No. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure I saw this like
freaking on demand or something.
Something. On demand. They were on demand on VHS. Back then, but yeah, it was probably on video.
And on the Polygraph.
Yeah. So if this movie came out in 85, I probably saw it in 86 because sometimes it took a year for the movie to come out on VHS.
Yeah.
Or Betamax.
I don't even know what that is.
Dude.
Like Viewmaster?
Back in the day, there was VHS or there was Betamax. And Betamax was like, you know what it was? It was like Nintendo and Sega. And most people bought Nintendo instead of Sega, you know, back then.
You said Betamax?
Betamax. That's what it was called.
The Betamax?
The Beta? Man, I didn't even catch that.
The beta effect in action once again.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Question is, now I'm going to throw this to you guys. What did you guys honestly think about the movie? And does this movie hold up even till today? And I'm not talking about the effects hold up because they don't. They didn't hold up in 1985. So how do the movie itself, does it hold up today? Is it a movie that you can watch today? Jonathan?
Yeah, I think it was. I enjoyed the movie while we were watching it. And it was pretty emotional. It was pretty moving. It's not super cheesy or corny. I'm trying to remember, I think maybe there's a few parts that are a little corny. But other than that, it's pretty unique in the sense that, the idea isn't unique, I guess, that two things that are completely different, you know, coming together, because we see that all the time. But I think the way that it's done here is pretty interesting. These two, right, of different races get stranded on this random planet. And I think just the fact that he has a kid, right, and that responsibility of being a parent gets moved on to Davidge. And Davidge, completely accepts it and completely, is okay with that role. And I think that's what was so cool, is that Davidge, right, he hates Drax. I mean, and I think the entire human race hates Drax, in the very beginning of the movie. I want to say the first 5 minutes, because the first 5 minutes is credits, but the second 5 minutes of the movie is just Davidge literally just blowing Drax ships up.
Like
he's literally just tearing them down,
like blasting away, like, cursing
like,
at
yeah,
them,
like literally like blasting.
Like, oh, so screw you, Drax!
Yeah, like, and he's so determined to kill the Drax that he literally follows, because he hits Jerry's ship, and it's going down, but he wants to blow it. He wants to make sure it's like blown up. So he's so determined that he literally follows him to the planet. And so I think the character development is like great, because in the beginning of the movie, you know, Davidge, again, like I said, he hates Drax. He wants them all dead. But after, it was 3 years, it was said. And I guess it's less than that, because you need to give zombies time to grow up. So we'll say like maybe 1.5 to 2 years that he spent with Jerry, you know, he learned to form this bond with Drax, and formed a like an understanding and a like a likeliness towards other Drax.
The total time was 3 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I said like zombies needed to grow up as well. Yeah. So I was saying the time that he spent with Jerry.
Oh, I'm not bad.
Like a year.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
half.
You're right. You're
yeah,
right.
So like maybe like a year and a half or 2 years.
Got it.
He learned to like Drax, because then when he goes and he's full on like adopted the culture, like he sat for it didn't explicitly say how long it took, but there's a sequence where Jerry he asks Davidge his legacy, so like who his parents were and who their parents were. So he says like, oh, my parents were this, like my dad was like a computer engineer. My mom was a waitress, and then I had a grandpa and grandma. And then Jerry was like, okay, that's cool. And then he's like, let me tell you about my legacy. And like, it makes it seem like it was for a pretty long time that he was like singing about his legacy.
Like, yeah.
Like, it was probably like either an hour or like that's a couple hours.
Yeah.
So it doesn't explicitly say, but Davidge learns this legacy, and he learns like all of it. And I think the extent that Davidge goes for Jeremy and zombies, and just the race of Drax, like even at the end of the movie when he takes zombies, he fulfills like Jerry's request and takes zombies to Draken, which is their home planet, and like pretty much and like recites the lineage to like I guess like establish zombies into you know, his culture.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he does that, and that he memorized and he learned all of that. He learned how to speak Drak. Like he speaks like fluent Drak now.
Yeah.
Like he can read Drak. Like he was reading from the Talmud. Like I think that's so cool that he.
The Talmud is the name of.
Oh yeah. The Talmud is the their, name is like is their the Bible. Bible.
Is their Bible.
Drak mm-hmm. Bible.
I think that was so cool that he like cared enough to do that.
Do you think it was like the King James version of the Talmud?
The King James version? Yeah, probably. It was like
like friggin' like the King James OG version.
Or was it the
like the NIV?
It's like
NIV.
ESV friggin'
ESV
like
NLT
NLT
BLT
BLT
no, it's cool because it paid off in the end too. Not paid off, but like it was recognized his efforts, because when zombies then gave birth to the next line of lineage of Drak, it then was said that that Willis Davidge whatever was the name that was now introduced into the lineage, the Jabira.
Because which is kind of cool. It's really cool, but it's kind of funny because you have like the Jabira, I can't remember on the top of my head, but it was like Jahira or whatever Jerry's name was, Jariba, right? It was like Jariba, zombies, like these other like alien names, like I can't remember, but they're like alien names, like total alien names. And then you have after zombies, Willis A. Davidge.
Yeah.
Willis.
Yeah. Willis A. Davidge.
Freaking Willis.
Imagine. It's funny because for us, you know, his name, which was Jariba Shigan.
There you go, Jariba Shigan.
Sounds weird to us, but then like Willis E. Davidge is probably weird to them too.
Yeah, and then right.
Here, let me read it. It says, and when in the fullness of time, Zamis brought its own child before the Holy Council, the name of Willis E. Davidge was added to the line of Jariba.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. That was really, really pretty cool. And I like the fact when you're, now that you're mentioning that, is that when they find Davidge on the planet because he gets shot by one of the scavengers. You know, they think he's dead, but the BTA or BTS? No, BTA.
BTA. The BTA.
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 I don't know what it stood. Did it ever say what it stood for?
I don't think so, but when I looked it up on Wikipedia, it says it stands for Bilateral Terran Alliance. I don't know.
I don't think we never knew that in
Terran.
I didn't know.
Because they didn't want to say human, so they didn't say Terran.
Terran. Bilateral.
Bilateral?
Terran. Yeah, I know. Why bilateral? I don't know. That was weird. Like, so, when the BTA.
Just say the rebels.
I know. But they're the rebels. But when they find him, and he's like in they're about to like incinerate that fool. Oh, no. They're about to space him, throw him out into space because they think he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. They like dispose of their bodies.
Yeah. And
the fallen.
Before they do that, they were trying to take out the.
Like the dog tag?
The space Bible.
Oh, yeah, because they look for a dog tag and they don't find one, so they try to search him.
The space Bible from him. And then he wakes up, and so, but he doesn't fully wake up. He's like in a kind of a sort of coma. But he's, I guess, waking up, sort of, and he's like speaking Drac. And everybody's like, whoa, he knows Drac.
Yeah, I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Again, which shows that like he adopt like the adoption.
That's what I like, right? Like instead of speaking English, he's like, speaking Drac in his sleep or whatever, but not sleep, but coming out of the coma. So I thought that was pretty cool. But Jason, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, pretty much the same as Jonathan. I enjoyed the movie. I thought like the relationship between Jerry and Willis didn't necessarily feel forced. You know, there was like a nice pacing to it, and. Not that I wanted to like the movie because I ended up liking the movie, but I think that like what stopped me from saying that I would watch it again was just, you know, definitely now it comes down to like the quality of the graphics and the, you know, the visuals and everything. And of course, it's an old movie, so it's not gonna have great graphics, and it never will have those great graphics in a 1985 movie. But for some reason, like in this movie, like it's just, you know, when you're watching it, you're just like, man, like I definitely don't see myself watching this a second time, you know, or saying like, oh yeah, this has rewatchability, or I'm able to watch this over and over again, you know, like. You know, Back to the Future or, you know, Star Wars. You can hit play on that mess and on Disney Plus, and I would watch that movie, you know, over and over again.
So you're saying this is a movie you wouldn't watch again?
I would say, yeah. So I would say it's worth a watch. It's pretty nice to, you know, see that relationship. And I liked, maybe I'm just a sucker for stuff like that, to see like enemies turn into frenemies. I don't know. maybe I'm just a sucker for that, but I did, the funniest thing I wanted to comment too, like because of the visuals, was that after Willis is taken in, I guess, by the BTA, and he's like, I'm gonna leave again because I gotta go back to the planet, whatever. He gets into a freaking pilot spaceship, you know, and he's like, open the doors. And they're like, no. And he's like, I will blast through them. And then they're like, no. And he freaking blasts through the doors, but the doors like freaking fly open. It looks like it's like a fabric or like a freaking drywood, like, or not, a drywall. Like he's shooting through it and it goes like explodes and everything. But like, it like literally looks like I just punched through cardboard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Again, which it's a little weird, and it kind of shows like the weird logic, space logic of this movie, because at least in Star Wars, like on Star Destroyers or any sort of base, you have like the force field, right? You have the like the laser field, uh-huh. That like,
and that instantly, like that something like that happens, like space vacuum, like just,
yeah, because freaking. in any other space movie, if that would like explode, like that would like suck in like every, yeah. It would like literally like he would have been gone, and like all those ships would have like been gone. But the thing opens up and he just flies out. And him flying out, like, I wish we could show a clip. It's so funny because he just, like he literally, like,
it's like he just pressed gas.
Yeah. Like it's a car. There's no, like, it's not liftoff. It's not like,
Yeah, like he rolls off.
He rolls off.
That is funny. I never noticed that. That is true.
Like he rolls out, like freaking, but
like he slowly goes out.
Yeah, like he slowly goes out too. There's no like thrusters or anything either.
Right.
Like so.
But okay, but so Jason, so you, so I was asking, right? Does it hold up today?
Yeah. So that's the second question that I need.
Does it hold up?
Gosh. Somewhat. I would say it somewhat holds up. I think just because the theme is relevant, like it still to this day, movies like this are being made where it's like two people who don't like each other, they hate each other, and then like even in the trailer, I forgot what it said. It's like, you know, but after some time, you know, will they become friends or they become friends or something like that, and then you know the secondary character, I forgot what the word is called, but the secondary main character entrusts the main character with some sort of thing, either if it's like their language, their heritage, their culture, their child, it's some sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that theme or that topic, that story, whatever, is relevant to this day. You know, like we recently just saw it in the remake of the HBO adaptation of The Last of Us, you know, and that works so well because, you know, you have, I keep referencing that because it's the closest one that I can think of right now. Joel is pretty much like when he finds out about Ellie, bro, he wants nothing to do with her. He's like, get the friggin' heck out of my face right now. And then like, 4 or 5 episodes in, whatever, you see that little, like he starts like, you know, snickering at like her jokes. He starts like trying to protect her. He starts trusting her with a weapon. He starts trusting her with this. He starts trusting her with that, you know, and slowly you start to see that character development. So to answer the question, somewhat, I think it somewhat holds up, you know, because, it's not like Short Circuit, where, you know, you can watch this movie, like this movie can be made again today, where and it'll be like all fine and dandy, you know. It's like, okay, you gotta change pretty significantly.
You don't think the movie could be made today?
Short Circuit?
No. Enemy Mine.
No, I do think it can be made.
Okay,
that's why I was saying I don't think it's like Short Circuit level, where a lot of the choices that they made like probably won't
I hold see what up you mean. Yes, yeah,
more
yeah.
But I think that like if it were to be made again today, I think I could see it happening, you know, at least like a modern version.
And I mean, I think it would be cool if they remade this movie into like, you know, I think, sorry I interrupted you, but real quick, I think for me, as I mentioned earlier, the movie itself, it's dated, obviously, and it does look like it doesn't hold up because of the effects, but the story itself, I think, is great. It's like I really liked the story. I really liked the emotional weight that it has, and I thought it was pretty cool. So it's a movie that I would recommend people just to watch, to, you know, disregard the terrible effects. But the story itself, I think, is pretty nice. And I think Dennis Quaid is pretty great in this movie, and so is Luis Costa Jr. So I think it's something that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think all of it, so do we all agree? Is it a movie that holds up in terms of story?
In terms of story, yeah, I think it's worth a watch. Yeah. It's definitely worth
Well, there you go.
If you want a good.
It'll be interesting movie. Till we get to a movie that we do not like. Or I should say you, because I'm usually going to bring movies that I liked, but I'm going to see if you guys like it at all too, or be like, no, this movie's terrible.
What the heck is this?
Yeah.
Piece of crap.
Anyways, guys, that is our show today. Enemy Mine, you can actually either rent it or buy it. I think you rent it's like $4, buy it, it's like $10. I went ahead and bought it with Jason's Apple TV.
God dang it. I'm going to see that on my statement later.
But guys, we recommend the movie. Go ahead and watch it. Enjoy it. We hope you guys like it. We're going to have a beta report out on Friday. Stay tuned for that. We thank you guys for joining us on this episode of The Beta Rewind. Make sure to hit out all our social medias at The Beta Report. We'll catch you guys on Friday. This is The Con.
This is Jonathan.
This is Jason.
Until next time, this is the Beta Rewind.
Later.